Here is a special reminder for our on-demand and podcast listeners. KFUO will be celebrating our worldwide ministry with Share-a-thon 2016, a three-day live event Thursday, April 21st through Saturday, April 23rd. Listen on our worldwide stream and on AM 850 KFUO in St. Louis. Join us and enjoy all the live fun, plus hear from some of your favorite on-air friends. Again, Share-a-thon 2016 is April 21st through April 23rd. If you can't listen live during our 3 days of Share-a-thon, remember you can support us online anytime at KFUO.org. Just click a Give Now button on our website, or you can email us and ask us about other giving options. Email gifts at KFUO.org. It's KFUO supporters like you who make these worldwide online programs possible. Please prayerfully consider supporting KFUO today. And thank you for listening and supporting KFUO.
Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Great topics this week. We're going to take a look at a variety of things, topics pertinent to our life and health as we get older. Some topics pertinent to life for our older adults, whether it's us or our loved ones. Today, we're going to talk about music and memory with our friends from Lutheran Senior Services. Later on this week, we'll take a look at overcoming communication disorders, as well as nutrition for older adults. A number of topics, really, that I hope you find interesting. I certainly do. And if you have a question or a topic that you'd like for us to address here on Faith and Family, you can email me, family@kfuo.org. It's pretty easy to remember, family@kfuo.org. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin on our website. Go to kfuo.org and look for the sponsor section. There you'll find more information about Concordia University, Wisconsin. Joining me in studio this morning, Christina Willis. She's the Director of Resident Services at Laclede Grove Senior Living Community. It's part of Lutheran Senior Services here in the St. Louis area. Christina, welcome.
Thank you.
So glad to have you with us in studio today. Looking forward to talking about your work with LSS, specifically music and its place in memory and how it makes a difference in our memory. Also joining us in studio today, Sean Riley. He's the Director of Social Services at Laclede Groves with Lutheran Senior Services. Sean, welcome to Faith and Family.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Good morning. Glad to have you all in studio today and talking about memory and how music plays a role in that. Before we get into memory, and before I forget to ask, let's talk a little bit about your involvement, how you became a part of LSS and your work at Lutheran Senior Services. Christina, tell us a little bit about coming to LSS and what you've been doing there. You've been with LSS for 8 years now, is that right?
I have. I started about 8 years ago as an intern. I was completing my Master's of Healthcare Administration degree at St. Louis University, and Laclede Groves was one of the sites that I could choose to pick from. So after doing some research, I picked it there and got matched with them. I continued with them for about a year or two and then moved to one of our sister communities, did some administrator and training work there as well. And then an opening popped up to come back to Laclede Groves, which is where I started. So I came back to there as a household coordinator in our skilled nursing. I actually have completed my nursing home administrator's license as well as a future goal. And in the last year and a half, I was promoted to the Director of Resident Services position, which oversees basically the entire campus activity and life enrichment of the residents on our campus, which in total is about 850 residents.
Why is activity and interaction important in a community like Laclede Groves?
There are so many residents that move into our campus that either have lost everyone in their life or have lost all of their abilities to continue to be independent in their life. So the staff at Laclede Groves, it is our mission to help them live their life to the fullest in order to continue to participate in either daily activities, whether it's on campus activities, activities off campus. Next week, we're actually going to take a tour to Busch Stadium. So things that they enjoy, we meet up with them and see what they would like. And it's just, it helps with depression. It helps with anxiety. Mm-hmm. It helps with so many things that residents, you know, they experience. And we take the part of their families. If they do not have anyone there for them, we take that spot for them.
Sure. In our latter years, it can become very easy to become isolated.
Absolutely. It's sad.
Yeah. Well, glad to hear that you're there working with a great team and helping these older adults stay connected and engaged. Sean, tell us about your work at Lutheran Senior Services, Director of Social Services, and what you love about it.
So I joined LSS about 2.5 years ago. I had heard about LSS through a leadership program I was in out in St. Charles County. And I heard nothing but wonderful things about the company and the residents and the staff there. So when I was looking to make a career change, that was one of the first places I had scoped out. And, you know, some of the individuals, I really rely heavily on their input, their thoughts. They had nothing but positive things to say about LSS as well. So it was just a really good fit. I was happy to join them. I've been happy since I've been there. Working with the staff, the residents, you know, every day is something new. I'm learning something new from the residents, learning something new from the staff. I work with the household coordinator. So when I joined LSS, Christina was one of the coordinators I worked with who kind of helped me get me up to speed with how we do things at LSS. So I was happy to see her get promoted to the Director of Resident Services position. And so, you know, every day I'm doing something new. I'm doing something I love. I'm making a difference in somebody's lives. And that's what, you know, it's all about.
So today we're talking about memory, music and memory. How did this become a part of your work at Lutheran Senior Services? How did music become a part of your work?
Well, for me, Ed, you know, when I was working with individuals with disabilities, we utilized music as a coping strategy for some of their obsessive compulsive behaviors. And so we were made aware at LSS of the Alive Inside documentary that Christina will kind of talk about and how it utilizes music as a way to communicate, to touch those individuals that, you know, the dementia has progressed and we are not able to touch in the kind of traditional sense of working with them.
Sure. Let's talk a little bit about that.
So how the Music Memory Program began, Executive Director Dan Cohen, he founded the program with a simple idea that someday, if and when he ended up in a nursing home, he wanted to be able to listen to his favorite 60s music. So he had heard a news report about how iPods had become so popular and were growing. So he said, why not bring these iPods to these residents? Why not bring music to the residents this way and personalize it to what they would like to do? So this was back in 2006, actually. He discovered that none of the 16,000 long-term care facilities in the United States used iPods. So drawing on just the background of technology and how it would benefit others, he volunteered at a local nursing home creating individualized, personalized playlists for residents. And the program was a huge hit with staff, families, and it really became a prototype for a bigger effort that he wanted. Sean had mentioned the Alive Inside documentary. I would highly advise, if you have not heard of it, that you would look it up. It was in 2012, and they had actually screened it at the Sundance Film Festival back in 2014. And it is just, I've seen it probably 15 times, and it is just an amazing video that really shows how music can affect residents with either dementia, depression, anxiety. There was a cancer patient who was in those depressive states and who just came alive with music. There's a family, a resident, or a lady who lived at home with her husband who just came alive. He was able to get things done while he still was able to care for her at home. There's a gentleman named Henry in the video that came alive, like crazy alive with this music, and that actually hit more than 11 million views on YouTube. And that's really what made this program as big as it is.
So by alive, you're saying that prior to the engagement with music, there was very little interaction?
Whether there was either little interaction with activities or just the residents that would be bedbound. Maybe those residents that could not get up and participate in a traditional activity, there was nothing else being done for them. They were laying in bed. They were just lonely. They had nobody visiting them. So these residents now can still lay in their bed if that's what needs to be done. But they have the iPad, they have the headphones on, and they're listening to something that is bringing interest to them, that's making them happy.
Do you see a response with the music when they're listening to their individualized playlist on the iPod?
We do. We have a resident who was known to sit in the dining area with her head on the table, was not engaging with anyone, would just, you know, be very inactive. And so when we put the headphones on and turn the playlist on, she starts tapping her fingers, she's lifting her head up, she's engaging more, she's smiling. So we're seeing a physical manifestation mm-hmm. of a positive outcome in her. And we're also seeing the looks on her face. The staff are seeing the benefits. We have a couple of different residents that are utilizing the program, and you see a change in them. We've had some residents that are specifically asking for their headphones and the iPods because they want to listen to their music.
Did you ever think when you first started in your careers that you would be dealing with individualized playlists on an iPod for your residents?
When we started doing this, you know, 6 months ago and really getting into it, I had to almost do a tutorial on iTunes to remember how to do this because it had been so long since I had used it. And I was like, how do we make a playlist? So it did. It was definitely bringing back, you know, our past and bringing back something that we had done, you know, in our current life to bring to the lives of these. And we did find some challenges because residents, people in their 80s and 90s, they don't know what an iPod is. They see, and we're using the shuffles, so they're very mm-hmm. small. So we actually got groups together and we would pass it around and show them what it was. And so it was a little bit more familiar to them.
What was that like? Just what was that session like when teaching about something like an iPod shuffle? Because I know I look at it and go, how, this thing is what tiny. Is and this? I work in, you know, I work in broadcasting.
It was interesting, you know, and it was so small. So our fear is we're going to lose it or it's going to get misplaced. But when we pass it around with their headphones on, so they were actually able to hear what was coming out of this little piece mm-hmm. of plastic in their hands. And it was interesting. It was neat. And, you know, they were like, wow. And then some of the more alert residents were more, this technology really has come a long way, hasn't it? So it was more educational to them as well.
Sure. I, you know, I'm thinking of that generation. They've seen this technology change over the years from reel to reel, the big giant reels of tape to the big vinyl LP33s to cassette and then and 8 tracks along the way, exactly. CDs as well. How it's gotten smaller and smaller. But go ahead.
It has. And, you know, when we first started the program, when you develop an individualized playlist, if you have an iPod Touch, an iPhone, then it's very easy to put numerous playlists on an iPod. Mm-hmm. But if we're utilizing an iPod Shuffle, we're having to switch out playlists so that resident A can have theirs, but then resident B can have theirs as well. So, you know, we started with the shuffle and eventually we'll probably start doing a donation drive to pull more iPods in and getting some iPod Touches, some old iPhones. Mm-hmm. So there's definitely a learning curve, but I've also noticed with a lot of the residents on campus that are in independent living, you know, they're utilizing the technology. They are reading their newspapers on the iPads. They're connecting with grandsons, granddaughters out of town by Skyping or FaceTiming them. So the residents in our care center, it's a learning process for them. But as the population ages, it's going to be something that, one, they're expecting, mm-hmm. But also that they've already have gone through it. They've learned it. So
have you had residents that have just totally rejected it, either because of the technology, the learning curve, or maybe they haven't found a playlist that they really like?
We have. There are some residents that, you know, you put the headphones on and try to utilize, and they just take them off, they throw them down, they don't want them. And so we leave them off, and we try another day. You know, mm-hmm. try different playlists, different types of music. It's not going to work for everybody, but we'll continue to try.
So You have a certain number of these iPod shuffles that you use for, and so you're using them for multiple residents. And so what I hear you saying is that you need to change the playlists for each resident based on, now how do you choose the playlist for a resident?
So we have done a lot of research, and we put together a kind of a screening tool. So those residents who are able to give us the information and tell us about their likes and dislikes, we went through and visited. We had volunteers come in. We had staff come in. So we went through resident to resident. We haven't hit everyone yet, but talked about, you know, what kind of music did you listen to growing up? What was your favorite, you know, just singer? What was your favorite band? And so we made notes and we were able to look at that. So on the playlist, I don't even know how many there are right now because there's so many, but there's everything, you know, we have a classical, then there's, you know, blues and there's Elvis. So we're starting to really individualize at the playlist and, you know, get down to like artists because there's so many songs for certain artists. But then we also reach out to families. So we have our quarterly care plan meetings where families come in and visit with the staff to see how things are going. So during those meetings, we talk about it as well. And if their resident or family member has not been utilizing it yet, we say, okay, this is something we're working on. What do you think mom or dad would like? And then they give us information. So it just keeps, you know, it keeps going. And like Sean had mentioned, as the population ages and as residents that live in our independent living move over, we're hoping to have a lot of that already on file. And we're working with residents, you know, early so that way we can catch what they like. So when they do move in with us later down the road, we'll be one step ahead of them.
So are you listening to all this music too as you're putting together playlists and as you're working with the residents?
Some of it, yes. Some of it, you know, we try to, I do a little multitasking, you know, throw a CD in, let it load up and everything. But yeah, I'm finding, I like this song. I want to get this song. So it's fun. It's like some of the old music is not necessarily old music. We still like it these days.
Or when you're listening to music and now it's considered classics,
right?
You know, they're considered classics. Like, wait a minute, that's, I used to listen to that all the time,
right?
what have been some of the perhaps more unusual music that or music that wasn't familiar to you, it was new to you as you were loading it, Sean?
I would say a lot of the gospel music. You know, I just didn't grow up with it. And so when residents are telling about different artists or, oh, I listened to this band, I don't know who they're talking about. So I kind of have to go and look it up. Or country music. I don't listen to any country. And so as they're talking about certain country artists, I have no idea who they're talking about. But then it gives us an opportunity to share with them. And so, and that's where the technology comes in. I can pull it up on my phone right there and we can listen to samples on iTunes or go to YouTube. So it's an opportunity for me to connect with residents, but also for the residents to share their love of different artists with me.
Any bluegrass yet?
Ooh, we don't have too much bluegrass. Yeah. I was pleasantly surprised to see how much classical music there is in the world. It's just, there are so many different, you know, different types of classical. And
Absolutely. We've
actually had two or three different playlists because we've been given so much when we asked for donations and it just keeps growing and growing. So there's a lot of interesting different types of music in the world that I really didn't know too much about.
Music is amazing. And I know just from the music libraries that we have here at KFUO, just how you know overwhelming it can be to learn about new music and to but also to learn to appreciate it as well. What have you learned from the residents you're working with as you learn about this music maybe that's new to you, or just what have you learned from them about how this music has impacted their life?
I had a family member who told me the type of music their mom liked to listen to was kind of the swing, the 20s, but then World War II, she said dinner music and World War II music. So it was actually interesting because I had to do a little research, and then I actually was given a CD that said World War II music. And I'm like, well, this is perfect.
Wow.
So I actually listened to it, and the family actually said it was, you know, her husband was in the war, and so that was music that she would listen to, and it just would bring back those memories, which were good and bad memories, but it just made her think about the times that she spent with her husband.
Wow.
So it was really interesting.
So how would you describe World War II music? Was this big band?
A lot. Some of it was when I looked at it, because it was kind of a mixed CD with different things on it. So there was a few of those on there. I don't recall all of them, but there was a few of the big band in there, but they just called it World War II music because it was music popular
then. Sure, from
then.
That era.
Yep, during that time.
Wow. Yeah, do you get a lot of requests for a big band with this generation? A few?
I'd say yes. A lot of it, we've been getting a lot, you know, a lot of the Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
That's a big one. What's the other gentleman? Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Those have been a lot of the big requests.
When they hear that music, are there stories and memories and stories that come back that they share?
I had a resident in my area who I didn't get as much of a story background, but as soon as the pizza pie song started from Dean Martin, she just lit up and she just sang, and she's Italian. So she just sang that song, and it just brought back, I guess, just happy memories for her. And she's still, you know, she's, every time I mention his name, she'll just start singing the pizza pie song.
Isn't it interesting how we associate, you know, such, whether it's good memories or bad memories, with music, how that can bring those up. Well, that's what one of the main points of this program is, right? To help with memory. How does music help with memory, in specifically, some of the areas that you're working in?
It actually just music. It just brings back memories that they say can bring back a feeling of life when nothing else can. So if you're feeling, you know, depressed or even anxious, when you listen to that familiar song, or whether it's a wedding song, it just brings back all the happy feelings that you could have, that, you know, that you don't feel as sad as you might feel at that moment. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it comes and goes, but they say it just brings back good memories. It makes them feel like they're in a better place than they are now.
Mm-hmm.
It just makes them happy.
Yeah, the music has emotions attached to it. So I still recall, you know, some of the songs that I loved growing up when I was in high school, where I was when I heard it, what my thought was, you know, when I first heard the song, I'm like, oh my gosh. And to this day, when I hear the song, it brings back that emotion going through a rough period, you know. The quintessential albums we all listen to when we're all upset about something, it brings back those emotions. So it may not be a specific, at this time, at this place, I remember this, but I remember I was happy when I listened to Frank Sinatra or when I listened to big band music. I remember my kids listened to the Beatles growing up. I wasn't a big Beatles fan, but I remember it, and it makes me think of my kids. So I think that is the coolest piece for me, is the emotion that's tied to the music. And then, you know, it's on us to kind of pull and talk with the residents to see, okay, well, they're happy. Why were they happy? You know, what can they talk about? And just seeing the smiles on people's faces when we're just kind of conversing with them and being able to get those memories back. You know, that's probably my favorite part of this program.
I know when I hear something like the older country, back when we called it country and Western, when I hear something like Ernest Tubb, that always makes me think of my grandpa, because that, you know, that was certainly one of the artists that he listened to and the type of music that he enjoyed. And so it brings back memories of, you know, hanging out in the garage with grandpa working on the boat or something like that. Makes me think of that. I can imagine does the same for many residents as well. Not a lot of requests for Ernest Tubb.
No, I haven't heard that one yet. No, but I completely agree. There's different songs, like you said. There's a song, Tears in My Beer. That's my grandfather's favorite song. So if I ever hear it, it's like, oh, you know, it brings back those times. So, yes, it always brings you back to a time in your life that was good or bad, but it's still a memory.
What about, do you ever introduce new music in a playlist?
We can. Some of our staff will utilize their phones to play some new things. You know, one of the beautiful things about Pandora is it will cycle through different artists that are similar. So there may be something they haven't heard before. I do know some of the residents have listened to as rap or hip hop, and they've enjoyed some of it. So yeah, there's, you know, well, you never stop growing, wanting to hear new things. And so we definitely are cognizant of that.
I was just recalling in my head, we had a party a big party for our whole campus, and we couldn't find the music to play. And so we threw a CD and it was like party hits, and a rap song came on, and two ladies just got up and started dancing, and they had no clue what the song was, but they were just dancing and having a blast. So yes, that's that. They definitely will react to almost any song.
So music plays a role in whether it's for the individual or engaging more than one person, you know, in a conversation, giving you something in common to talk about as well. We are discussing music and memory with our friends from Lutheran Senior Services. We're talking with Christina Willey. She's the Director of Resident Services at Laclede Groves Senior Living Community here in the St. Louis area. And Sean Riley, Director of Social Services at Laclede Groves, part of Lutheran Senior Services. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our conversation listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
The most dangerous place for a black baby to be in New York City isn't in a crack house or a violence-torn part of the city. The most dangerous place for a black baby in New York City is in the womb. The Big Apple aborts more black babies than those born alive. About half of all Latino babies conceived in New York are aborted. This matches our research of Planned Parenthood targeting minority neighborhoods for abortion. Nearly 80% of their surgical abortion mills are within walking distance of blacks and Latinos. This is consistent with the philosophy of Planned Parenthood's founder, Margaret Sanger, who called minorities human weeds. If you'd like to see the dramatic visual research, visit lifeissues.org and click on the microphone icon.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
Do you know how your savings and investments are being used by your commercial financial institution? Hi, this is Rich Robertson, President and CEO of the Lutheran Church Extension Fund. We all need to be comfortable with how our money is being used. Recent market jumps really brought that back home for many of us. That's why investing with LCEF is so attractive for so many LCMS members and organizations. Visit lcef.org or call us at 800-843-5233.
Are you willing to share your talents while learning new skills and enjoying fellowship? The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is looking for volunteers who can help us share the love of Christ by offering their time and talents at the International Center. For more information, contact Maureen at Volunteer Connection 314-996-1629. 314-996-1629.
Worldwide KFUO has been listener-supported since 1924, teaching the good news of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection for our sins, and witnessing to the world about God's mercy. We are on AM 850 in St. Louis and a click away 24 hours a day at kfuo.org. If you have questions about donating, you can email us, gifts@kfuo.org.
Pastors of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, the workers few." If you are a pastor with a Master's of Divinity degree under age 42 and hunger to make a difference, the church needs you, a shepherd of Christ, a chaplain in the United States military. To find out more, go to lcmschaps at lcms.org or Facebook, Ministry of the Armed Forces.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We're talking about topics this week in care and health, specifically several topics related to health and care for our older adults, whether it's us or our friends, our loved ones. And today we're talking with Christina Willey. She's the Director of Resident Services at Laclede Grove Senior Living Community, part of Lutheran Senior Services here in the St. Louis area, and Sean Riley, the Director of Social Services at Laclede Groves. We're talking about music and memory, and specifically an individualized music program at Laclede Groves that has been implemented. How long has this program been going at Laclede Groves? How long?
It's been going for about a year.
What would you say are some of the things that you've seen, some of the outcomes that you've seen from this program in a year?
We have some residents, one specifically that was very, I would say, morose, very sad, depressed, that was just not interacting with anyone, would just kind of sit in the chair. And by utilizing the music, involving the family, kind of helping us decipher what music the individual liked, she's much more engaged, more lively. She's sitting up in the chair. She's listening to the iPods for sometimes two and a half hours at a time. When we attempt to take it, because we need to recharge them, we got to switch them out with another iPod for the individual. So the physical change, but also the behavioral change that we see, the resident's more happy, she may not be interacting in the sense that you think, but, we see her as someone who came from not doing much to, this is something she looks forward to. And so we are definitely utilizing it with her and then other residents. We started kind of pinpointing some residents that we as staff really thought would benefit from it. A resident that maybe they're exhibiting some type of behavior, maybe they're having frequent falls because they're in the chair a lot, or they're just not engaging. And so putting the headphones on them, it's a calming intervention, if you want to call it that, but it makes them happy. And so those residents were seeing a decrease in just sitting there, not engaging with them, but an increase. And, they may not be asking verbally, but they're looking for those headphones. They're looking for that music. And when we put it on them, you can see that change in them.
I think you mentioned, you might have mentioned dementia earlier is one of the issues that you might deal with. How does music help in that type of setting?
So I was thinking, Sean works closely with the care center staff and residents, mm-hmm. and I'm starting to work more closely with our assisted living memory care, which is where our residents that do have dementia reside. And based on research and actually looking at the Alive Inside documentary and the video, a lot of times residents with dementia, they feel lost. And depending on what state of dementia they're in, they know something's going on, but mm-hmm. they don't know what, they can't grasp what it is. So this, and they might have that wandering, that sense of needing to do something. So when they start listening to music, they get more relaxed. They might just feel just more calm. They feel more at ease, and it just helps them kind of just focus. We've found mm-hmm. that, that's some of the ways that some of the residents, they have that sense of loneliness, that sense of what sure. do I do with myself? So here is that thing that they can focus on.
Fear, isolation, maybe even frustration or
exactly.
anger. And so music can help with that. That's great.
In a calming way, yes.
Hmm. See, and one of the things that if you watch the Live Inside video, which you can find on Netflix, is the progression of the dementia, music, the part in the brain that stores music, memories, that's one of the last things that is affected by dementia. So that was kind of where this music and memory program was born from, is that, you know, that piece is still in there. And so that, you know, utilizing the music is pulling them kind of back out of it, as Dan Cohen said.
Let me see if I understand this correctly. So memories associated with music, that part of the brain that's affected, generally affected last by dementia.
Mm-hmm.
So really tapping into that and making the most of that can provide some encouragement, some motivation, I guess, maybe, if you will,
mm-hmm.
for that individual. And I would imagine for those around them as well, for their loved ones, for other members of the community.
Yes, we had a resident who just constantly, you know, is it time to eat or is it time to go? Where are we, what's going on next? And it can be frustrating for caregivers, family as well, and staff that, you know, they're trying to do something. They're trying to get, you know, continue on with their roles throughout the day. But, you know, when you have someone who is confused and who is constantly asking questions, it gets challenging. So with the music, it does give them that feeling of, okay, I can sit here and listen to this. It calms them down. And like in the video, the gentleman who took care of his wife, she would have it on walking down the street of New York. She'd be listening to her headphones as he's, you know, she's walking with him as they're going out running errands. So he's able to not worry about focusing on, you know, what she's doing, because she is concentrating on listening to her. And I think some of it was, I don't know if it was the Beatles or, but something was very, very, you know, calming to her, and it brought her back to a happy place in her life.
Hmm. What's your go-to music?
Well, I am a big fan since I grew up in the 90s, Blink 182, and I'm really big into Aaron West and the Roaring Twenties right now.
Wow.
I am a country girl at heart, but I love Dave Matthews. I'm a mm-hmm. Chicago fan. I'm a very big wide variety, but a little bit of country at heart there.
Yeah, I grew up on oldies and country music as well. So some big band. Grandpa liked a lot of the older country, even some bluegrass. I didn't really grow up on bluegrass, but it has become, through things like Pandora, has become something that I really enjoy, and it's become more of my relaxing music from time to time. And certainly, you know, I enjoy the music that we play here at KFUO as well. But every once in a while, you just got to turn it on something different, like, you know, grandpa's old country music or a little bluegrass or something like that. It's always fun. What has been the response of family members as they've seen a loved one use this music, you know, being introduced to an iPod and headphones? And have you gotten feedback from family members as well?
We have. I would say, taking a step back before we even really rolled it out, we put together a couple viewings of the movie for mm-hmm. families and staff to come in to see. And I had a family member with his daughters come in, and they took a look at everything. They really enjoyed it. They asked a lot of questions. And then a couple months later, he had approached me and he said, okay, I just now noticed, you know, I was visiting my wife and they were playing music and she started, you know, tapping her feet and she was really looking into it. He goes, she never really enjoyed music that much. Or at least he goes, I didn't think she did throughout our life. He goes, but I think that this music program that you've been talking about would be very beneficial to her. So she is one that we are focusing on to really get something going for her to pinpoint, since he didn't really know particularly what kind of music she would really enjoy. We're doing some trials with mm-hmm. her and seeing what she likes. And then in the nursing home, I had a family member contact me numerous times to notify me of what kind of music their mom liked. And then when we actually would introduce it to her, they wanted to be there and see how she enjoyed it. So the first time it was a little different. She was very, I don't like that song. No, I don't like that. So we had to, okay, let's try this again. So we came back and tried a different time. And now she's one who's been very tearful at times. She gets very sad about a lot of things. So when we bring the music to her, she gets calm and puts a smile on her face. And it seems to be really, really working for her.
I said we had one family member that was really impressed with the program that they brought in an iPod specifically for mom, so that, you know, she didn't have to utilize the ones we had. We could have ones set up specifically for her. And then also, you know, working the interaction we can get between students and the residents. Families are really liking seeing that. The fact that they can have, you know, grandson, great granddaughter working with them on the technology. Mm-hmm. So families really seeing the benefit of it. And then also, you know, as I'm talking with families that are looking at Laclede Grows for mom or their loved one, I mentioned the program. And then sometimes that's the biggest part of the tour I'm giving is they're asking me about, what is this program? How are you guys utilizing it? What benefits are you seeing?
So what a great way to engage a couple of generations here as well. You know, when you need your iPod set up or your iPad set up and on connected to Wi-Fi or whatever so that it can go, you just get the young kids. My son, you know, this is the difference between the digital natives and the immigrants when it comes to this technology. My son, who's 2.5, thinks that everything that has a screen is a touch screen. Which is obviously not the case, but he goes up to the TV thinking that it's a touchscreen, trying to swipe on the TV, but it's not. But I know as I get older, that someday he'll be able to handle all that technology for me and will probably make fun of me in the process as well, that I don't know how to use it. But, you know, down the road, he'll know what all the newest technology is. And that's, I think, what we have now, too. This younger generation is just they're native to this digital technology. And it's almost like they're wired to use it.
They're like sponges.
Yeah.
They just soak everything in. We have now she's four-year-old niece, but at 2.5, 3 years old, she had your iPhone in her hand and she was playing games or she was taking pictures and they know exactly what to do with all of that. It's just amazing.
My son has figured out how to get to his cartoons on, you know, the iPod Touch. He knows how to, you know, even to get into Netflix, which is set up for kids' videos, but he knows how to get to it just from the time you turn it on, you don't even have to find it. He knows how to find it himself already, which is amazing.
It is. And it's nice because we have a great volunteer group. Marilyn Copeland, who is our director of recreation and volunteers, she works with all the local high schools, all the local grade, everything in the St. Louis area, basically. And anyone who's looking to volunteer, they get in touch with her and they come to our community. Mm-hmm. So we've used a lot of the volunteers to come in and work with our residents with this music and memory program, whether it's looking at music preferences and what they like or sitting down and listening to music and just interacting with them and talking about it. And it's really great.
So some of the volunteers were adults, or do you have any high school students that are volunteering as well?
A little bit of everything.
Yeah.
We've had adults come in, people from Express Scripts and different companies in St. Louis who volunteer time with us. They come in, we've had them meet with residents. I have a local volunteer from Ladue High School who comes in 3 days a week. And he has actually been extremely beneficial and has helped us upload almost every single song that we have. He has done just about all 2,000 to 4,000 songs that we have on our computer. So he's been great. And now we have a couple weeks left before he graduates. So I'll be using him to go out and visit with residents and talk about, you know, the program and what he's been doing and sit and listen to music with them. So
how would he describe his experience as a volunteer and all that he's got to do with the music in this program?
I think he has learned so much about the different types of music that we were talking about earlier. There was one day we didn't have the computer to upload music, so he did research on what types of music these were. And we had a good couple hundred CDs that we were working through. So he was learning a lot about who Bobby Darin was or who, you know, what country artist this was. It took a little bit, but I think he learned a lot about music. I don't know how much of it he may have listened to while he was doing it, but he definitely learned a lot of new names.
How many volunteer hours does it take just to prepare an iPod, you know, or a playlist for one resident? You're chuckling.
Well, depending on how many CDs we have, how many playlists we're creating, he's there for about an hour every week, and it's been, 2 months? And we're just kind of now starting to get to the end of it. It takes a while, and that's why the volunteers have been so helpful. in meeting with the residents to kind of work through what music they're listening to, what they like, but then uploading. You know, I upload at my house, but I click upload, then I go do something, come back right. to it. And so, you know, he's been able to do it just continually, which has been a huge help, because then all I really need to worry about is weekly going in and grabbing the computer and updating playlists for the residents. So without him and the other volunteers, I don't think we'd be as far along as we are in the program.
How do you become a volunteer to help out with things like this?
You can contact Marilyn Copeland at Laclede Groves. I believe her direct line is 314-446-2457. And she will get in touch with you, talk to you about what you would like to do. They, depending on the type of visits, if it's just once in a great while, or if you want to become a regular volunteer with us, you get to go through the background check and the mm-hmm. screening, and then they sign you up, and then you get to come in, sign in, and visit and interact with the residents on whatever you know, you are interested in. We do volunteers for big group activities. We do volunteers. We have students coming from Melville High School next week to go with us to the Busch Stadium tour for our residents. So we welcome volunteers on many, many different levels, especially with how big we are.
It's probably good you're not going to the tour today.
I know. It's a little wet.
Let's
hope it clears up.
Yeah. Any other stories from residents or families or staff members or volunteers with the new music program that's been going for about a year now that have stood out for you?
With staff members, I think the one that stands out for me is the resident who likes to talk. He's very talkative with staff as they're working with other residents, trying to get other things completed for someone else. And he is just continually engaging them. And so they introduced the headphones for him and he really enjoyed it. And so now when they give him the headphones, he will say, "I know you're just putting it on to keep me quiet," but he likes it and he's okay with that.
What kind of music is it that he enjoys? Do you remember?
He likes classical music.
Yeah.
It's very, very calming to him. It's what he grew up on, so he has a good time with it.
I think now that we've come about, you know, 6 months or so since we've been doing this about a year, but we've really been implementing it for like the last 6 months, that staff are more receptive to what mm-hmm. we're doing. At first, it was very hard because it's, how are we going to do this? Or, you know, how do we find time? How am I going to know what they like to listen to? How are we going to do this? So we've really done a lot of work on just educating them, showing them the little clips from the video to see how it's really interacting with the residents and how they really enjoy it. And then made it easily accessible to them, putting the iPods in very easy, close to places so that they can access them without having to leave where they're doing and walk down the hall and pick them up. They can do it right then and there pretty much. And so now they're actually seeing, wow, so they really enjoyed this. You know, that took 2 seconds. That was not a big deal. So I think that, you know, at first it's one of those something new. How are we going to make this work? And now that they see how things are going, I think it's really easier for them to grasp it.
What do you need to continue or to grow this program? What's needed to provide music for as many residents as you would like?
More iPods.
I don't want to say CD donations, but more music. So whether it's, you know, iTunes gift cards, mm-hmm. We are going to look at a donation drive down the road where hopefully we will get the iPod shuffles, the nanos, the touch screens, the old iPod touches, because anything is good as long as it is an Apple product for this program. And then the continuation of adding music. So that's just going to be our ongoing, I believe, you know, charges really are adding music down the road.
How do you keep all those iPods charged? I'm just thinking of how, you know, keeping all the digital things in our household charged.
I was pleasantly surprised to find, and I think Sean had found it right before I did, but they have surge protectors that are all USB surge protectors. So it was easy to just plug them all in that mm-hmm. way instead of having to, you know, find these charging blocks and the wall, you know, wall chargers. But it's more of a routine.
Yeah.
It's grabbing them whatever day of the week
I have numerous reminders on my phone to make sure that we go up and charge them.
I know. Yeah, it's part of my routine as well. You know, in that between 4 and 5 in the morning when I'm up before everybody else, getting everything ready in the household, seeing, you know, electronics laying around, plug them all in so that they're charged for the morning for everybody else. Yeah. Or we try to do them before we go to bed as well. Make sure everybody has them because we've got to have our music. Well, you mentioned earlier that we've talked about how this has been great for individuals, you know, having the individual playlist. You mentioned how music has made a difference even in a community and how this, you know, playing music at a dance, even how that makes a difference. Have you seen how the implementing of this individual music program has changed community and that sense of community among residents, whether it's, you know, community among residents or with staff? Has this music program made an impact on community?
Yes, we have an auxiliary at Luckley Groves, mm-hmm. and for, you know, every year they are very generous and donate an item to the residents in the care center, so the nursing home. And excuse me. And the last year I was working with an individual and we were kind of talking about what the donation would be, and I really felt very strongly about this program, so I pitched this idea. Instead of, you know, an item, some funds so that we can run this program, and the auxiliary really took to it. You know, they set a goal, and they eclipsed that goal of donations they wanted to pull in. So, you know, and the auxiliary is kind of the community at Laclede. So that was very nice to see that it pulled everybody together. They felt very strongly about it. You know, as I'm walking around the building, I'll have residents stop and asking me, hey, how's that program going? So I think it has.
I agree. This year, we started talking about what do we want to do this year? Because it's a yearly item. And I had lunch with one of the members, and we started talking about just ideas, and nothing was really jumping out at us. And so she took it back to the auxiliary committee, and they're brainstorming and they're thinking, but I believe, you know, we're going to look at trying to find a way to continue working with this program so we can grow it.
Well, I'm glad to hear that the program has been going so well, that that individuals have responded to it, that the staff has welcomed it as well, and that you have a great group of volunteers that have helped implement it as well. And I know that there's always a need for more volunteers. Thanks so much for sharing that information with us. Again, who is the person?
Marilyn Copeland.
Marilyn Copeland is the person to contact at Lutheran Senior Services, Laclede Groves.
Yes.
Can help you get connected with an opportunity to serve as a volunteer there. Maybe you have an interest in music. Maybe you know a lot about music. Could help with uploading the music and getting it listed and developing those playlists as well. If you have a love for music, that might be a great way to serve too.
Correct. There are other communities within Lutheran Senior Services who do participate in the Music and Memory Program. And we have Merrimack Bluffs, which is out in Baldwin. There is Breeze Park in St. Charles. And I believe Lenore Woods,
mm-hmm. correct,
is also participating in these programs. So Christy Boole is the director of volunteers at our corporate home office in Brentwood. And so she is another contact that you can be in touch with to volunteer at other locations if the Laclede Groves was not close enough for you.
Sure. Very good. Well, thanks so much for that information. And we always love talking about volunteers with LSS and the great ways you can serve if you have a love of music or just helping others. This is a good way to do it. I'm going to check out the documentary you mentioned, Alive Inside. I think, Sean, you mentioned it was on Netflix.
Correct.
So I'll check it out and hopefully learn some more as well there. Thanks for sharing with us today about how music has made a difference in the lives of individuals at Laclede Groves. This has been just interesting for me, and now it's challenged me to also go listen to some different music as well. Our guest today, Christina Willey, Director of Resident Services at Laclede Grove Senior Living Community, part of Lutheran Senior Services. Christina, thanks so much for being my guest today.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
And Sean Riley, Director of Social Services at Laclede Groves. Thanks for being my guest today.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word, Pastor Asbury filling in this week for Pastor Whedon, as Pastor Whedon's out of the office this week, but we've got Pastor Asbury and other guests, guest hosts this week filling in. More topics on faith and family. Again, the email address, family@kfuo.org. If you have a topic or an idea or a question for us here on Faith and Family, it's been great being with you. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word, you're listening to Worldwide KFUO.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at kfuo.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.